This is a true crime in real time update from True Crime Today and the Hidden Killers podcast.
I'm Tony Broski, and today we're diving deep into an unsettling chapter from the life of Sean Diddy Combs, one that's coming back under scrutiny in light of new, serious allegations against the rap mogul. What happens when a superstar father feels that his son has been wronged? How far is too far? In 2015, at UCLA's athletic complex, Diddy was accused of doing far more than just voicing his displeasure. Reports claim that he assaulted his son's football coach, choked an intern, and even swung a kettlebell at staff members. Was this just a parent pushed to the edge, or is it part of a troubling pattern of aggression and control? We're going to break down what happened on that June day in 2015 and see what, if anything, the incident reveals about Diddy's behavior, a behavior now under the microscope as he faces federal charges of sex trafficking and abuse. Could what happened at UCLA foreshadow a much darker narrative, one that prosecutors say spans years and multiple victims? And why did Diddy, a man with everything, find himself arrested on a college campus wielding a kettlebell? Stay with us as we unpack the facts and explore what might have driven one of the most powerful figures in hip-hop to violence. It was a tense summer day in 2015 when Sean Diddy Combs, music mogul and father to UCLA football player Justin Combs, entered the Acosta Athletic Training Complex. Tensions had already been simmering between Justin and the coaching staff, particularly with strength and conditioning coach Sal Alosi. According to reports, Alosi had benched Justin for the summer, frustrated with what he deemed a lack of effort during voluntary workouts. What began as a disciplinary action quickly escalated into a situation no one expected. Diddy arrived at the facility reportedly incensed over how his son was treated. He demanded a meeting with Alosi, which took place in the coach's office near the weight room. At first, it seemed like a standard confrontation between an upset parent and a coach, but what allegedly followed crossed every line of reason. Witnesses reported that the conversation between Diddy and Alosi became heated almost immediately. As voices rose, Diddy's anger boiled over. According to accounts, the situation turned physical. Diddy allegedly placed Alosi in a headlock, tearing the coach's shirt and leaving scratches on his neck in the process. Staff members, alerted by the noise, rushed in to intervene, pulling the two apart. But the chaos didn't end there. In the midst of the scuffle, Diddy allegedly turned his attention to an intern standing nearby. The young intern claimed that Diddy grabbed him by the neck, leaving visible scratches. It was in the moments after that the incident took an even more dangerous turn. According to charging documents, Diddy picked up a kettlebell, a heavy iron weight used for strength training, and swung it toward staff members in a fit of rage. Fortunately, no one was seriously injured during the confrontation, though the potential for harm was clear. Police reports noted that had the kettlebell made contact, the injuries could have been catastrophic. Campus police were called to the scene and arrested Diddy on multiple charges, including 3 counts of assault with a deadly weapon, 1 count of making criminal threats, and 1 count of battery. Despite the severity of the allegations, the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office later declined to press charges. The lack of significant injuries was cited as a reason for dropping the case, leaving many to wonder if Diddy's celebrity status played a role in the decision. Publicly, Diddy dismissed the incident as a misunderstanding, and his son Justin posted a message of support on social media, thanking his father for always being there for him. The incident was soon overshadowed by other headlines, and for a time, it seemed as though Diddy's actions at UCLA would be little more than a footnote in his larger-than-life career. But now, years later, the story has resurfaced as Diddy faces far graver allegations. Fast forward to 2024. Sean Diddy Combs finds himself at the center of a storm that makes the 2015 UCLA incident seem mild by comparison. Federal prosecutors have brought forward an indictment that lays out allegations of sex trafficking, coercion, and abuse. Investigators claim Diddy's influence stretched beyond the music world, with accusations that he exploited and controlled individuals, both men and women, through fear, manipulation, and blackmail. According to the charges, Diddy orchestrated freak-off parties where attendees were allegedly drugged and coerced into performing sexual acts. These parties, prosecutors say, were not mere indulgence, but tools of control. The events were often recorded and the footage used to blackmail participants into compliance. These claims paint a picture of a man whose need for power extended far beyond professional success. This broader investigation has resurrected the UCLA incident, prompting prosecutors to re-examine Diddy's behavior over the years. Legal experts suggest that the altercation with Coach Alosi may now serve as evidence of a pattern, a tendency toward aggression and control whenever Diddy's authority is challenged. In both the UCLA incident and the current federal case, the question of control looms large. Is this a man who simply couldn't stand to see his son mistreated? Or is it part of a larger, more disturbing pattern, a need to dominate, to ensure that things always go his way, no matter the cost? The parallels between the two situations are striking. At UCLA, Diddy reportedly lashed out when his son's coach benched him, a decision Diddy likely saw as undermining his son's potential and, by extension, his own image. In the federal case, prosecutors argue that Diddy used fear and intimidation to manipulate others, ensuring that no one would challenge his authority or escape his control. Both cases suggest a man who responds to opposition not with dialogue, but with force. As new allegations surface, more individuals have come forward, filing lawsuits and sharing stories of abuse. The most recent charges allege that Diddy was involved in transporting individuals across state lines for prostitution, exploiting his wealth and connections to create a system of coercion. One particularly disturbing account describes a victim being assaulted in a Macy's stockroom, followed by threats from Diddy's entourage to ensure silence. This growing body of evidence paints a troubling picture of a man whose public persona may have masked a darker, predatory nature. Despite the gravity of these allegations, Diddy has maintained his innocence. His legal team argues that the charges are inflated, part of an effort to tear down a powerful figure. But as more victims step forward, the pressure mounts. For the courts, the challenge will be to separate truth from myth, to determine whether the man facing these accusations is a misunderstood artist or a manipulative predator hiding in plain sight. Meanwhile, Diddy remains behind bars at the Metropolitan Detention Center in Brooklyn, awaiting his trial, scheduled for May 5, 2025. As prosecutors continue to build their case, the UCLA incident serves as a reminder of just how far things can escalate when ego, power, and unchecked anger collide. It raises difficult questions for the public and for the courts. How do we reconcile the image of a beloved music mogul with the accounts of violence and exploitation now coming to light? Can a person be both a doting father and a dangerous predator? And most importantly, will justice finally catch up to a man whose wealth and influence have shielded him for so long? When you look at the arc of Sean Diddy Combs' career, it's hard to ignore the disconnect between the public persona and the troubling allegations now unraveling in courtrooms and headlines. We've seen this before. Powerful figures who present one face to the world while hiding something much darker just out of view. If the allegations are true, Diddy's actions at UCLA may not have been the isolated tantrum of a protective father, but a glimpse into a deeper pattern of dominance, where anger and control are tools of the trade. This isn't just about a coach and a kettlebell. This is about a man who, according to prosecutors, cultivated a way of life where violence, manipulation, and fear were currency. It's worth asking, what drives someone with everything, money, fame, influence, to risk it all on acts of aggression? Could it be that, despite the wealth and power, Diddy never learned how to handle losing control? Psychologists often talk about narcissism and entitlement, where the smallest challenge to one's authority can feel like an existential threat. For some, every disagreement, every no, is seen as an attack, and the response isn't reasoned, it's explosive. If what happened at UCLA reflects Diddy's mindset, then it wasn't just about his son's benching, it was about power, about showing everyone in the room that in his world, he calls the shots. But the bigger picture here is even more disturbing. The federal case paints a portrait of someone who allegedly used his influence not just to build an empire, but to control and destroy lives. Lives that may never recover from the trauma inflicted upon them. And yet the question lingers. Can someone like Diddy, with all the resources and connections in the world, ever truly face the same justice as the average person? Or does celebrity still carry a protective shield even in the face of overwhelming evidence? This story, like so many others involving the powerful, leaves us with difficult questions and no easy answers. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us as we follow this case and bring you updates along the way. And if you haven't already, press subscribe to keep up with this and all the other cases we're covering.
Ready to explore the world of hauntings and the restless spirits that refuse to leave?
This whole idea of residual energy comes in. Like, these powerful emotions, they don't just disappear, you know? They leave a kind of spiritual imprint.
Welcome to Paranormal Deep Dive, the podcast that takes you inside the most haunted locations across the globe.
We venture into the depths of this forsaken fortress, where the line between the living and the dead blurs.
From abandoned asylums to forgotten mansions, we uncover the stories of restless spirits and chilling encounters.
Guests claim to see her, heartbroken and searching, always near those same bathrooms, like she's reliving that final moment over and over.
Every episode of Paranormal Deep Dive goes beyond the legends to explore the terrifying truths behind the hauntings.
One of the most haunted locations on the ship is said to be the first-class swimming pool. It's said that the ghost of a young girl who drowned in the pool decades ago still haunts the area.
Are these just stories? Or are the spirits of the past still with us? Find out for yourself. Subscribe to Paranormal Deep Dive, your daily journey into the world of hauntings and the supernatural. Press subscribe now wherever you get podcasts.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply at LifeMD.com. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
Confused on where to start with weight loss medication? See the lowest prices available with or without insurance for Wegovy, Zepbound, and more at TryLifeMD.com. 95% of LifeMD patients said starting their weight loss journey was simple. Listen to Tara's story after losing 42 pounds.
You just take your shot. It doesn't feel like you're on a diet. What I wasn't expecting it to do was to shut off the food noise. I had gone from 237 to 195. This was life-altering, and if I can do it, I feel like anybody can do it.
Get your free insurance benefits check in minutes right now at TryLifeMD.com. Nearly 96% of patients said they would recommend the LifeMD program to anyone who wants to lose weight. Get started right now at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of a deal. But are you getting the deal and cash back? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love, savings, and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Target, Nike, and Instacart. Stack sales on top of cash back and feel what it's like to know you're maximizing the savings. It's easy to use, and you can get your cash back sent to you through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app or go to Rakuten.com to start saving today. It's the most rewarding way to shop. That's Rakuten, Rakuten.com.